gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are we on vacation yet?
Oh,
are we here? Are we here? Is this live? Really? Don't you wish this was the best of? Maybe it is. Who can say? How would anybody know? All right, 6 minutes after the hour.
If it's a best of, we usually wouldn't announce that it's a best of.
Listen, that's true. I wouldn't know.
Right.
Because we don't know it's going to be the best until
exactly.
it happens.
Usually it's just crap and
right.
we throw
See,
it
like
away.
That segment right there was crap about us talking about whether it is a best of or not.
Oh, how
but
meta.
But we can say for sure that it will be a best of tomorrow and Friday for it. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That's right.
We are thankful for each and every one of yous.
We got some Kathleen Madigan in the best ofs. We got some Jen Kirkman in the best ofs in the next couple of days. We got some Rick Overton in the best ofs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Comedy geniuses all.
Mm-hmm.
That we were just referencing Jen Kirkman yesterday
yes.
about calling your friends with kids and saying, I have stage 7 cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Billy, put that down. We love her.
I don't think
some Jen Kirkman.
I don't think cancer goes to stage 7.
That's why it's funny.
See?
Here's Jim Ward late. Here we go, slam. Hi, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, can I tell you one thing? Jim will be right on time for Thanksgiving
of
at
course,
my house tomorrow, though.
Because there's food.
And we will be gathered around the soda stream, mixing up
egg creams.
Adult concoctions. Apparently, I got a lecture from Randy Rhodes on the air yesterday about how you can soda stream some sort of a milkshake or something.
Whatever.
Well, what you can do is you can make
right.
seltzer
right.
with which you can make an egg cream.
There you go.
But you can't, like, stick the soda stream in, like, cream and egg and all of that.
Right.
Because
okay.
it'll...
Listen, you know what? You never know what Jim and I will accomplish
That's
drunk tomorrow.
Beyond the specs
of the soda stream, yes.
I'm on the
They're
hotline with
the
soda
envelope.
Stream. Did they have tech support? Are they available during holidays?
What you're saying is you cannot?
Uh-oh. You screwed the pooch.
Oh, God.
Dog kibble and seltzer? And,
okay. All right. I'm just saying they've probably gotten some calls like that from John Boner. All right.
Probably.
Hey, you know what?
What?
It's the day before a vacation, and we are off to a ditchy startup.
Yes, we are.
Which is what we're hoping for. You don't want to miss a minute of the shows right before vacation.
We're already drunk.
We are drunk. We are out of ideas. And we tend to meander off in wildly entertaining tangents.
Huh.
Speaking of wildly entertaining, oh my goodness, kids, the excitement is it's here's Fever Pitch, and here's where Sexy Liberal Seattle excitement is.
Why?
Because Dan, we just announced yesterday. Because normally it's a surprise celebrity guest.
Who let the cat out of the bag?
I don't know, but Dan Savage.
I'm
Dan
the
Savage.
Dog. It's always the dog.
Dan Savage is going to be our celebrity. Panelist, our celebrity guest, and I believe that Rocky Mountain Mike Gumpy will be able to serenade him with some version of Frothy, the Santorum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And oh, also, by the way, Rocky Mountain Mike wrote me, Steph, I understand that conservative Catholics are mad at Dan Savage. After all, they had been told if they liked their Pope, they could keep him.
Ah, hey.
How's that hopey poopy thing working out for you?
Yeah, hey. All right. Seattle kids, that's what I'm talking
Seattle,
about.
Seattle, want to end 2013 on a high note? Then get your tickets now for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, coming to the Paramount Theater December 14th, 2013.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to sexyliberal.com for ticket information and all things sexy liberal. Once again, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Paramount Theater on December 14th, 2013. Be there and brace yourselves for some sexy liberal action.
Yay!
I have already booked my flight.
What?
First class out of Burbank.
Wait a minute.
I have no idea what I'm going to do.
You just buried the lead. Are you coming?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Jim Ward just added to Seattle Sexy Liberal. Oh, my God. It's too much excitement. I'm going to... Irregard! Oh, my God. You totally buried the lead. I was going to make that a whole separate announcement.
Oh, well.
Because I didn't know you were coming.
I just decided.
That all just happened live on the air. Look at the magic of Sexy Liberal. We have drawn Jim Ward into our web. Very, very... Oh, then it's going to be a par and then a tay. Separately. Not just a party. It would be two separate hunks of par and then tay.
I'm going to bring my harmonicas and harmonica mic, but
oh my God.
I don't think I can bring an amp. That might be a little...
We will find an amp for you. Don't worry. Okay.
I'm sure theaters
we'll
have
plug
amps.
Into... plug it into the board or something.
All right. I would say come, but I think Seattle Sexy Liberal probably just sold out right now. Just with that. Just with what Jim just said. In addition to Dan Savage, Rocky Mountain Mike and Company, and, of course, the all the other sexy liberals. Oh, by the way, sexy liberal Carlos L's Rocky live in hour number three today for coffee with Carlos. Very, very exciting. All right. And,
but he's
got
so far to go to get here. I mean,
yes. He's got a, you know, it's
it takes him literally minutes to walk here.
It's close to exercise. He has literally like nearly two blocks to come. All right. Yeah, in the meantime, you know, because it is the holiday season.
It's a very frothy holiday. Yeah.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow. With a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hi again, kid. It's Frothy.
Hi, Frothy. Can you tell us again where you came from?
No, I don't think so.
Why not, Frothy?
Well, I found out that when Frothy visits, a lot of people are eating breakfast.
Oh, Frothy.
And then Frothy got a visit himself from the elves at Standards and Practices. So I'm going to go now. Bye, kids.
Goodbye, Frothy.
Goodbye, Frothy.
Santorum had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye to Colby, and I'll try to be president someday.
Aw, that's precious. Just the part about being president someday.
A girl can dream.
Okay. All right. Hey, it's a very squeezy Christmas, Jim. We have a bad Santa. It's our first bad Santa story of the season. A man who worked at Santa Claus in a Massachusetts shopping mall has been ordered not to put the red suit back on until a court resolves a charge that he groped an adult coworker over the weekend. The prosecutor's office declined to comment on reports that the coworker wore an elf costume.
Well,
Santa groped an elf. Santa.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
Sacred.
Not an elf.
Oh, was she cute?
Who can say if it was a female?
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know. I wonder what Mrs. Claus thinks of that. Maybe Santa is in a pink suit.
Could have been the dentist elf. Who knows?
I want to be a dentist.
I'd like to be a dentist.
Oh, Hermie.
Hermie.
Hermie. Right. Sorry.
You're thinking of the love bug.
Sorry.
Me.
Different thing altogether.
No, that was the Roadrunner. Same thing.
Right.
The horn on a VW Beetle. It's just like the Roadrunner.
Okay.
Well, I think this is another touching, you know, it's like a healthy holiday kind of story. Just saying. This one, though, in Canada.
Ah, in Canada, eh?
Men help a shark literally choking on moose meat.
Oh. Well,
only in Canada, eh?
Why was the shark eating moose?
Yeah, there's so many layers of what now in this story? How did the shark get a moose,
or
A?
Or how did
B,
the moose get near a shark?
Right.
In Canada.
And would you get involved in that whole mess? I'm not really certain.
Maybe
I would help.
Did they have to?
Because sharks notoriously ungrateful.
And bitey.
Right, exactly. Ooh, we got that moose out of there. Ow! What? Oh, is that the thank you?
Look out, there's a shark there by the moose.
Did
eh?
They have to reach into
I
the
I don't have
in
moose
the
meat anymore. I wonder what I should eat now. Ow! You bastard. A shark.
If you can get shark and moose jaw, can you get
moose and shark jaw?
A shark choking on moose meat in Canada was helped by two men who pulled the food out of its mouth.
Wow.
I would not give a shark a Heimlich. I just would not. Hang on, I'll get that for you. Because they're not going to turn around and go, oh, wow, thanks. They're going to turn around and...
Took a whole case of Canadian Club.
And helped it get back into deeper water. That is helpers. The men managed to pull 2 feet of meat. Oh, jeez.
Wow. 2 feet of meat?
From the shark's mouth and used a rope and a few yanks.
Sounds like a name for a band.
To get it back in the water.
2 feet of meat.
2 feet of meat and a few yanks.
No yanks, Canadians.
How the shark managed to get the meat remains a mystery.
Hmm.
But the shark is fine. Back in deep water.
All right.
Okay. Seriously, that takes a real helper. Hey, that shark is okay. Well, good luck with that.
Wow.
What is that?
It's like literally a shark there, eh?
How did a shark eat a moose?
Now that's going to stick in your craw the whole holiday. You'll be drunk. You'll be drunk tomorrow. But how did a shark and a moose?
That trick never works.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Right. Jim, who said if it turns out that President Barack Obama can make a deal with intransigent hardline unreasonable...
Intransigent.
Entrenchism. Hardline, unreasonable, totalitarian mullahs in the world, but not with Republicans. Maybe he's not the problem.
Yes.
Who said that?
Ayatollah Khomeini.
No, John Stewart. Oh,
very close.
Funny.
Very close.
Funny. Yeah, yeah. Maybe President Obama, not the problem. I wonder who.
Yeah.
What the problem could be, one wonders. By the way, unsolicited testimonial. Scott in Kentucky. Right, Steph, just a note about my experience with the ACA, my insurance. I am self-employed small-town physician who's had to purchase health insurance on the private market for 28 years after several years in a row of double-digit rate increases. My premiums have gotten to $1,340 a month for my wife and myself. For years, BCBS had been my only option. I recently received my cancellation letter offering to move me to an ACA-compliant plan for only $110 a month more, no mention of other options. Of course, I went online to the state's insurance exchange and found a plan better than my current BCBS plan for $600 less per month.
Hmm.
Thank you, Governor Beshear and President Obama. Love and squeezes, Scott and Kentucky.
Aw.
Small-town physician. He's like Doc Holliday or whatever that Michael J. Fox movie was.
Doc Holliday was...
Doc somebody.
Doc, Doc Hollywood.
Doc
right.
Brown.
Right.
Doc Holliday was
Doc.
At the OK Corral,
right.
Wasn't he?
What's the Michael J. Fox?
Doc Hollywood.
Okay.
Or The Secret of My Success.
You know what I meant. Don't question me the day before vacation. I am...
Back to the Future?
Drunk. Okay. No! Not that one. Okay. Jim, where is the flux capacitor set presently for this show? 17 minutes.
Who's Secretary of the Treasury? Jack Benny?
17 minutes after the... I was just trying to get him to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Listen to Stephanie Miller. From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
You have to be exactly midway. You know, there's some wiggle room there.
Okay.
22 minutes after the hour. I don't want to be a stickler. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Keith in Milwaukee. Hi, Keith.
Hey, guys. We're so thankful for the last in the morning. As the official public relations person for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyhow, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, we need to write our congressmen, our members of the state legislature about different issues. You know, we're coming up on the Affordable Care Act, starting to work out. The website's working out. People are getting enrolled. But the problem is the media has done such a great job of carrying the water for the GOP. So, you know, so I think what people need to do is they need to think about writing letters to the editor. They need to think about writing letters to their editors, writing letters to the assignment desks at their local TV stations, and start urging people to start telling the positive story about what's happening with the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
My piece.
Yep.
So,
all right. I don't know. Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hi. It seemed to startle him that I wondered how he was, but I did. Okay. Krugman writes another good piece, The Obama Can't Worm Turns, and it's exactly it. That, you know, it's the thing we were saying. By the way, guess who Obamacare's new best friend is? John Boehner. It would really be tough for a 64-year-old smoker.
Yeah.
But also has a
permanently orange.
Right. To get a deal like he got, his little PR stunt kind of went, Flee!
Well, also, there's a tanning bed tax now, too. So
that's what he's pissed about.
He's helping to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, he uses bronzer, obviously, not a tanning bed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it's that orange color I turned myself before the prom.
Well, no, you can turn yourself that orange if you use an accelerator in a tanning bed.
Right. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it went really well with my home perm.
You used QT, didn't you?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Where you had to wear gloves or you'd stain your hands orange?
Yeah, I looked really eerily like Link from Mod Squad.
What? Really?
Yeah,
or
I did.
Or Oompa.
Yeah, more
right.
Like an Oompa Loompa.
Right. Link from Mod Squad's and
really
Oompa
tall
Loompa's
Oompa
love child.
Oh, great.
Right, there
wow.
you go. All right. By the way, speaking, I can't believe I buried the lead yesterday, so I'm at CNN on one of the Yelly shows. Jane Velez Mitchell.
JVM.
Right, JVM. And so I'm in that. Because you know the magical things that happen in hair and makeup at CNN.
Right.
So guess who I was sitting next to in hair and makeup?
Who?
Mike Tyson.
Did he bite your ear?
No, he did not. He did not.
You wore your headphones, so he couldn't do that. Yeah.
I said to him. I said, hey, Mike, I said the thing I just saw online is really funny. And he's like, oh, thank you. It's the Foot Locker commercial where he gives Evander Holyfield his ear
back. Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, Evander. It's your ear.
So, Mr. Rodman, round trip to North Korea?
One way.
One way? Woo!
I love her.
Goodbye, old friends.
I okay?
Well, that's great. But a man's got to know when to walk away.
Yeah. My ear. I kept having formaldehyde.
One way. He said one way.
All right. First, everyone celebrating Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
We'll buy a one-way ticket to North Korea. All right. I was going to start chatting with him about Ned, Roland's pigeon, and I thought he'll punch me. Don't irritate him. You've talked to him enough.
Or he'll get bitey.
He doesn't
like that shark.
He'll get bitey or punchy.
It's the Bitey and Punchy Show.
Don't talk to me about the pigeons.
Just don't push your luck. Just say hello.
The pigeons.
You know, right. Too bitey, too punchy.
Apparently
and possibly rapey. Yeah. Just saying.
Apparently his Broadway show is actually really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whose?
Mike Tyson.
Really?
Yes. It's a one-man show.
And he basically
tells the story of his life, and it's really compelling.
Wow.
From what I understand. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I didn't know that I would have had something else to chat with him
about.
There you
go.
That's a little startling. Mike Tyson sits next to you in hair and makeup.
With that thing on his face. Did he have his face tattooed?
Yes. I was trying not to look. I was like, oh, hi. Yeah. I don't know. It was a very busy day, CNN.
I'm sure.
Piers was there. He came in. I'm like, oh, hi.
Oh, Piers? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was very, last rung. They made me wait outside, cool my heels. She's like, there's no room in hair and makeup. We're very busy. Just sit there.
You had to sit on the floor with a styrofoam cup of coffee in
yes,
the hallway.
Like a hobo
waiting to
get into hair and makeup because Mike Tyson and Piers Morgan were there. I was
who invited the hobo?
I had to scrounge around for a fake eyelash. It was really... Oh, it's a sad little story. Okay. Anyway, that was just random. I just had to tell that story.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, yes, Dennis Rodman has been named least influential celebrity of 2013.
Ah.
GQ does that every year.
Okay.
Yeah. They described him as a Q-list celebrity willing to commit borderline treason just to hang out with a dictator who himself aspires to be a Q-list celebrity.
Q-list?
Yes. Oh. Paula Deen came in at number 2 and Anthony Weiner number 3.
Okay, I buy that.
Right. This one ticked me off. Obama came in at number 17, the president, because nothing gets done. Oh, you bunch of morons. Yeah, that's his fault. Because everybody on the other side is so incredibly helpful on every issue. Okay, so we were, the caller was talking about, and this is what Krugman writes about today, the Obamacare worm turns, and we have said, what happens? It will suddenly become Mitch McConnell care in a moment.
Yeah. Turtle care.
Krugman writes, I suggested yesterday we're probably heading for a turning point in health reform discussions. Conservatives are operating on the assumption that it's an irredeemable disaster that they can ride all the way to 2016, but the facts on the ground are getting better by the day, and Obamacare will turn into a Benghazi-type affair where Republicans are screaming about a scandal no one else cares about, and it's already starting to happen. The last caller was talking about media coverage. He says, meanwhile, media coverage is shifting fast. It's still mostly trying for equivalence, each positive story of people being helped matched by a negative story of people heard, but the stories don't actually match up at all. And that's absolutely, we've gone through the numbers, and that is absolutely true. There has been a disproportionate, Obama scare media circus that is based on, a lot of smoke and no fire. We will tell you more about that as we continue 29 minutes after the hour. The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes?
pumpkin pie.
I saw my Thanksgiving vegetable controversy thanks to Jim yesterday. Hmm. He advised me that green beans would be less controversial than Brussels sprouts.
I think you're correct.
Yes. All right. So I...
Green bean casserole.
Right.
You have to make the casserole.
I'm just a good little woman. I do what Jim tells me.
Make it with the French's onions.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God knows where you're going to be. Who cares?
Oh, you know where I'm going to be?
You don't get a vote.
I'm going to be at Disneyland.
Oh, nice.
That's weird.
No, okay. there's a nice restaurant there that offers
turkey on a stick.
On the Tilt-A-Whirl, whatever they have there.
Oh, God.
Tilt-A-Whirl?
I haven't been to Disneyland in years. Why must I go? I didn't breed. All right.
Neither have I, and I'm going. Yeah. Well. It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
Are you getting paid?
That's a liner we use.
Oh, all right. Fine. Whatever. Okay. Oh, good God. There's more. Cue the Thanksgiving crisis, Chiron. White House turkey duel freaks out social media. Did you see this? USA Today. Terrified Americans, settle down. The White House is not pinning two turkeys in a Hunger Games death match. Don't people just have outrage fatigue by this time?
Yes.
Can we not just... the White House website promoted a new feature where Americans are introduced to two turkeys, caramel and popcorn.
Oh, really?
Visitors are encouraged to get to know the turkeys, learn their backgrounds, hear audio files. No.
Okay. All of these turkeys are pardoned.
Okay. All right.
Right. That's what the controversy was, Jim. Everybody settle. Hear audio files of their distinctive gobbles. Caramel is apparently a Lady Gaga fan. Popcorn prefers Beyonce.
Okay.
The winner will be decided by which turkey story is shared most on social media, but Americans took to Twitter and Facebook to express their shock that the White House was apparently intending to slaughter the losing turkey.
But they're not!
Cue the crisis, Chiron.
Oh, my God.
They're pardoning both of them.
Right. Well, you know, this is like a presidential knockout game. You see what it is? Violent black people. This is what this story is all about. This is... Really?
And Hunger Games is about violent white people.
Apparently. Right.
Not that I would ever watch those.
Okay. The site read that President Obama will pardon the National Thanksgiving Turkey, and once again the American people will decide which bird takes the title. That led to stunned responses online, shocked outrage, pearl-clutching extraordinaire. The website quickly corrected. It was just a glitch, people. Just a glitch. But he calmed down. The website was quickly corrected by midday Tuesday. It now reads, both turkeys will be pardoned, but only American people will decide which bird takes the prize. Okay. So is everybody calm now? Another website glitch fixed.
This one admittedly fixed a lot faster than Obamacare.
Whatever.
Well, I'm just pointing out a fact.
As Paul Krugman writes, the Obamacare worm turns, and he was talking about it. He said, small example, earlier today I found myself trapped in a place with CNN on in the background showing a fair and balanced account of losers and winners. I mean, you got to look at the numbers. Again, it's like, what, 1% of us in the entire country that are even affected by this, and most of those are good stories. I mean, it's like there is no both sides to this one. Blah, blah, blah. First, the loser, a guy who admits that Obamacare has gotten him a plan cheaper than the insurance he had, but who found out that his current allergist is off-network. Annoying, no doubt, but there are other allergists, and this particular one probably didn't help the case by saying he's thinking of refusing to take Medicare patients, too. And in any case, insurance with restricted networks is hardly something new to Obamacare. Then the winners, a couple with no insurance at all because her premium would have been prohibitive, and he has a pre-existing condition that won't let him buy any kind of insurance at all, but now both covered at a very affordable price by Covered California. I don't know about you, but these two don't sound like equivalent stories to me. At this rate, the whole horrors of Obamacare meme will be gone in weeks, not months, but the GOP echo chamber won't be able to let it go. Thank you, Paul Krugman. Thank you.
I wonder if, you know, I mean, I don't know this, but if the system is hacked, I mean, it could happen. There was some malicious intent there.
Well, they've already, you know, that's already been testified to, right?
Okay.
The House,
All right. Well, then there's not a story then there, is there? Fox News?
Hey, schmear. Okay.
Is the Obama rollout worse than we thought? Is it the end of civilization?
Do we have the Courtship of Eddie's Father song? Because, as I've mentioned, Jim, guess who Obama's scared new best friend is? John Boehner. Obamacare's new best friend. The headline in Salon.
Aw. Who's your little buddy, Obamacare? Scott Boner.
I feel like I just got home from eighth grade.
Yeah, right. Mom, where's the great popsicles? Yeah, Brian Bootler in the salon. By talking about his own premiums, the House Speaker inadvertently reveals the new program's many benefits. Oops. Oops. Word is out now that despite a plethora of good options, of good options for a 64-year-old smoker living in Washington, D.C., House Speaker John Boner will pay higher premiums next year than he did for his federal employees' health benefit program plan in 2013. Well, yeah, it's not as good as his fancy government socialist program that I wish we all could have.
Mm-hmm.
Obamacare remains a great deal for Boner and his contemporaries, and while eliminating the law altogether might save Boner a small amount of money if he re-entered the federal, you know, blah, blah, blah,
yep.
It would be a huge liability for a much greater number of 64-year-olds without Boner's wealth and job security. Mm-hmm. So
it's a catastrophe!
Excuse me?
It's a catastrophe!
Someone get Mrs. Livingston on that. What? What?
Or Uncle Martin.
Are you talking about the most offensive racial stereotype in television history?
No, that's Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, that would
Mickey Rooney, that's true.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
But come on, there was a reason every episode they made her go, oh, hello, Miss Aisada.
She really was Japanese.
But yeah, she was Japanese.
Oh, that was just...
That's how she talks that way.
Right. Okay.
That's how the actress talked.
Well, we only had her in Hop Sing back in the day.
And Eddie Rooney as...
Right.
The offensive
right.
Asian stereotype next door.
And Hop Sing on Bonanza only had one line. Just bong, dinner! That was it.
I never watched Bonanza.
Everybody
knows the theme song, but never watched it.
Okay. Kevin, D.C. Hello, Kevin in D.C.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for being the inoffensive racial stereotype of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh,
we appreciate it. Hello.
Well, thank you. By the way, in Bonanza, you missed that girl, Marlo Thomas, playing an Asian girl as well. I guess there was no other Asian actress at the time,
yikes.
So she played one. And her basic playing one was, you know, snippet smiles and bells chiming in the background.
Oh,
so.
Oh boy.
But I heard you, you know, mentioning, you know, healthcare. You know, I'm wondering again, you know, lovely liberal media. Did you know that I heard President Obama mention this on his weekly address on Saturday about the fact that healthcare spending since 2010 has increased by just 1.3%, the smallest cost growth over 3-year period in American history, and prices in the healthcare sector rose by 50 years lows. And yet, according to Think Progress, there were only 23 segments about that fact. But of course, the Obamacare website probably 224. Now, I'm not saying you don't cover that because that's news, but wouldn't these record lows and these historic moments be something you covered at least somewhat as much if we had even a decent media, much less a liberal media?
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's misinforming. I mean,
yep.
I'm being naive. I know. It's Thanksgiving. I'm giddy. I'm seeing family. I'm getting to talk to you. But isn't it important? Bleed it leads, I get it, but it's just as important to inform people so that you have more guys like that guy you mentioned
right.
That walked away saying, I guess I'm a Democrat now because he didn't realize he could get that kind of health care?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, when you even use the word fair and balanced, what would be fair and balanced is to talk about the actual numbers. Mm-hmm. What is it, 80-something? I don't even remember. It's higher than that percent of us. This has no effect on it all. So, first of all, how big a story should that be? And then 1% of us, 1% might have, you know... I mean, talk about balance in terms of all the incredible stories and millions of people who've not been able to get insurance at all, right?
Yeah, and isn't it, and what about the states, you know, from California to Kentucky, a red state that is doing fantastic? Again, isn't that news? Isn't preventing, you say a bleed it leads, isn't it preventing bleeding?
Yeah.
At least half as important?
Yeah, no, exactly. And then when they dig into half of these Obamacare horror stories, they're not.
Yeah.
The president yesterday in California.
Here in Southern California and here across this state, there are thousands of people every single day who are getting health care for the first time. For the first time. Because of this. And by the way, the website's continually working better, so check it out.
Oh, pardon me. What was I going to say? Yeah, that's how you know the president's in town, is because when you hear the traffic reporters on the radio, it's just don't take this street and don't take that street and don't go there and don't even bother trying this.
Yeah, there was a big rectangle right in the middle of the city that where you weren't allowed to go.
Right, and I was like, oh, and, the president's here.
Okay. Yeah,
Pasadena and Sherman Oaks, that's where you can be. Everywhere else, yeah.
No,
actually, he was in Glendale, so Pasadena, you were taking
Glendale.
The chances.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's a good thing I never leave my house.
Yep.
No effect on me. Kathleen Sebelius on the website.
We are definitely on track to have a significantly different user experience by the end of this month. That was our commitment than people experienced on October 1st. The experience is vastly improved each and every day.
Oh, dear. What else will we have to freak out about now? I mean, I'm seeing pictures of caramel and popcorn right now on my computer. And that, you know, that controversy has been diffused. I'll find something else. Oh, I have something to get out.
Why did Obama send a storm to the Northeast?
Yeah.
Right.
What a bastard.
We'll talk about that.
Typical Kenyan.
Because he hits things. He hits Thanksgiving.
Kenyans are able to send snow everywhere.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Come on. Get started.
Come on.
Get started.
Get started.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
In where?
Let's get it started in here.
In there.
Up in here.
Oh.
Stephanie Miller Show up in here. 50 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal Carlos.
As long as
Ellis.
Your London Bridge goes down.
Right.
What?
Sexy liberal Carlos Ellis. Rocky in hour 3-4. Coffee with Carlos. Very, very exciting. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you, of course, by SodaStream. And all these stories, of course, about Black Friday is now Thursday. It's now tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You can go shopping.
Thursday's the new Black Friday.
Just take your Thanksgiving dinner to go and wait at Walmart. However, not at this one in Iowa. An Iowa man continued shopping and left Walmart after his gun accidentally fired from his pants.
Oh, God.
He paid for his items and left the store after the .45 caliber gun fired and struck a basket and several cans of beans. He told police that a bottle he was carrying struck the gun and caused it to fire.
Several times?
See, the
or just ricocheted through all the various
just
cans
ricocheted.
Of beans?
Nobody
wow.
hurt, fortunately. See, that's even the worst part of this story, is that that's how it goes in America. Your gun just goes off at Walmart, and you're like, no, right.
Hey, stuff
okay.
happens.
All right. Did I graze anybody? Nope. Okay.
Price of freedom.
All right. I got to get this big screen out of my way.
Shot up my big flat screen thing.
And there wasn't even like a thing about, and you had a loaded gun that was unlocked in your pants at Walmart. Why?
In case you needed to shoot his feet.
Right. Right.
You never know if your feet are planning.
Can
I
have
that way.
Some love music and mm-hmm. some Epicac, please? Thank you so
okay.
much. Thank you.
The aptly named Epicac.
Guess what's going to this will serve as this. What's going to run an ad during the Thanksgiving NFL games tomorrow?
Mm. What?
Thank you, Ted Cruz ads.
Yeah. They're serious?
A conservative group's ad thanking Senator Ted Cruz for his efforts to defund the Affordable Care Act. Oh, and shut the government down. Thanks, Ted.
Who in their right mind is thanking him?
It's a conservative.
The Koch brothers.
It's set to air this week during the televised broadcast of multiple National Football League games. The video ad created by the Conservative Campaign Committee praises the Texas senator for stepping forward to take on the disastrous Obamacare scheme by doing everything he could to stop Obamacare before it could hurt America.
I think Ted Cruz should be green egg and ham boarded.
The ad features video clips of MSNBC's Chris Matthews and Joe Scarborough calling Cruz a political terrorist and stupid, respectively.
But he's a political terrorist and he's stupid.
Joe Scarborough, of course, a Republican.
He didn't get the moral of green eggs and ham, which understood when I was 4.
Right. Underscoring the group's belief that Cruz withstood the criticism and showed the courage of his convictions by leading the charge to defund Obamacare. We, the people, have a simple but important message for Ted Cruz. We say thank you.
Mm.
Oh,
something and I'm
here. Some other
people
have another message for Ted Cruz, yes. And that is, you are an idiot. Thanks for shutting down the government and costing us
24 billion
a Beyonce a day.
$24 billion in jobs.
120,000 jobs. Yeah.
Herg. Done. Herg.
Thank you, Ted Cruz.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, go screw some other
hey,
country.
Hey, listen. I will open up my phone lines all morning if you would like to thank Ted Cruz. If anything you'd like to thank him for, please. Fire away. Okay, speaking of MSNBC.
Send
him
the bill for the $24 billion yeah. dollars lost.
Thanks, Ted, you dip. Oh, speaking of MSNBC, two stories. Number one, I have a date with Lawrence O'Donnell tonight. I'm going to have the last word.
Oh, God.
He's here in L.A. I'm going to be live with him unless I get...
bumped.
Right, which I frequently do.
Or unless you get drunk.
Well, I don't get bumped for that.
How do you know?
Because then I'd be bumped every day. MSNBC has fired Alec Baldwin.
Yep.
After just 5 episodes of his program, Up Late with Alec Baldwin, he came under fire in early November after a paparazzi posted a video of the actor allegedly using homophobic slurs against the photographer.
Technically, it would be.
As Dan Savage, our sexy liberal panel guest in Seattle, said on Bill Maher this weekend, he called him a sucking. So I'm not sure why it's a legend. It's on tape.
He disputes that he said the F word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I said hag.
So, but
you misunderstood me. I said
sucking,
hag.
But not...
Yes.
It.
He says he disputes half the comment he made. He
so
said,
it's okay to say...
If I called him a blanking maggot or a blanking mother blanker...
We are getting in the weeds. We are getting in the sucking weeds.
F-word for gay man is not the word that came out of my mouth. That I know, he says.
I said slag.
I don't mean
it's
to,
very different.
I don't mean to get on a technicality here, but wouldn't saying that someone is sucking imply that perhaps you mean that in a... Oh, you mean sucking in a straight way, in a way that...
Well, I mean, that could be used as an interjection, just as a, you know,
right.
a placeholder or an adjective.
Really?
It doesn't mean you actually...
Really?
But when you call someone an F-word for gay man, you're generally saying
right.
that they're...
Or you're... calling him a cigarette.
So there are a lot of straight men that presumably suck just as a hobby sometimes?
Well, no, it doesn't necessarily mean that you... It's
oh.
just an adjective.
Oh,
right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
The
finer points of cursing.
Wow, this discussion's a little... He, of course, has a history of anti-gay slurs going as far back as 1992, as recently as this past June. Dan Savage, I mean, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in Seattle, too. I mean, he sort of defended him. He said
yeah.
he's a guy of a certain age, that's they don't mean it like that. It's a, you know.
I think that was making an excuse for Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Dan Savage.
Well, we will talk about that and Martin Bashir and Alec Baldwin's thoughts on all this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Tomorrow, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Consider us your personal Butterball hotline. We don't really know anything about cooking a turkey, but we will make it up. Call now. Okay. And also a free bazillion power crystal.
Yeah. And also an ambrosia recipe.
No. I don't know that. All I know is sauerkraut. Okay. And I thought, you know, Sexy Liberal Seattle, the final 2013, I thought it had built to a fever pitch yesterday when we announced that Dan Savage will be our surprise celebrity. Well, not a surprise anymore.
No.
Celebrity panelist. And now, this morning... Just like a giant nuke.
Voice meeting, Jim Ward.
Announced that he is going to be, he's going to do Seattle as well. Jim Ward joining Sexy Liberal.
I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I will be there.
You'll be MC guy. We'll figure it out. And you're going to bring your harmonica.
Ah.
Plural.
Right.
Different keys.
Plural. Rocky Mountain Mike and the Stephanie Miller Show players. Whatever. Oops, sorry. I didn't mean that. What I meant was, also, the first Phoenix is going to be Saturday, February 15th, Madison, Saturday, March 29th, Albuquerque, Saturday, May 10th. Tickets going very quickly for all of those. Lots of very, very exciting 2014 Sexy Liberal announcements. All will be another big city put on sale next week.
Mm-hmm. The whole city will be on sale? Wow.
Right. We're going to sell an American city off. No, we're not. All right. And Sexy Liberal Carlos Alzraki in hour number three for Coffee with Carlos coming up next. All right. So we were talking about Alec Baldwin. This is interesting because Dan Savage was on Real Time with Bill Maher this weekend talking about this. And you were saying, Chris, interesting before the break, you thought he was making excuses for Alec Baldwin.
Yes, I do.
Because what he was saying is, you know, men of a certain age, they sometimes use that, and it, you know, it's not meant as a gay slur. But
you know what? There's no excuse for that. Absolutely no excuse.
Well, so what you were saying, and I thought this is interesting, what Alec Baldwin said. He said Martin Bashir's on the air, and he made his comment on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, because you remember my dear friend Randy Rhodes
yes.
got fired over something she said in a nightclub. And
that's
a
right.
stand-up thing. That'd be like me getting fired for something I said at Sexy Liberal. And I do get that I'm not sure that's fair.
I don't think it's fair either. Alec Baldwin does have a point.
Right. Mm-hmm. And although Martin Bashir, again, we talked about that when it happened. He, first of all, I have to say, it's not what it sounds like at face value. It is and was deeply offensive to a lot of people that Sarah Palin continues to compare things, in this case, the debt, to slavery. It is deeply offensive to compare, I think, anything to slavery. But anyway, so he was making a point and got obviously overly passionate about the way he described it. But it wasn't like he just out of the blue said, oh, I hope someone in Sarah Palin's mouth, you know, he was talking about what the horrors and degradations of slavery actually entailed, which in some cases were having them defecate on each other. So he was making, at least he was making a point. He made it on the air. He did, I thought, a really sincere apology about it. But anyway, but then as you were saying, this is where we get into the weeds a little, Chris.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin said, I dispute half the comment I made. If I called him a sucking maggot or a sucking mother is not the word that came out of my mouth. F word for gay man. That I know. But then he said, you've got the fundamentalist wing of gay advocacy. They killed my show, and I have to take some responsibility for that myself. And I think that he would probably self-admit that he has an anger management problem.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. That's been demonstrated.
Yeah, but again, you know, should you get fired for something you said off air? I don't know. You know? I mean, it's... That's why I think many of us were sort of shocked and horrified when Randy Rhodes got fired for, you know, a joke she made in a nightclub that somebody... That's the problem now is everybody has a cell
right.
phone camera and...
There's no private sphere anymore.
Right, right.
Everything is broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris, I don't know. I guess the points they were making on the... You know, Bill Maher, I think, was saying to Dan Savage is that he said he has been a good liberal, and he has fought for gay rights and so
it's no excuse for using that word.
Yeah, well, I don't.
I obviously don't
use the word
right.
and don't excuse it either. But I'm just saying, you know, I just thought it was an interesting.
Alec Baldwin needs to learn that it's not okay to use that word.
Yeah, well, I think that's the more troublesome thing. Is there seems to have been a history of choosing some version of that word when he's angry,
yeah.
rather than you know.
It's a repeating pattern, and I'm not happy with it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Dan Savage about it at Sexy Liberal Seattle, December 14th. What will be our non-surprise celebrity guest. All right. Listen, more importantly, Chris, we have bigger fish to fry here.
Uh-oh.
Wendy's is killing the pretzel bun, and I don't know why.
They had a pretzel bun?
And replacing it with brioche? I mean, really?
Brioche.
Brioche.
Brioche. Right.
Brioche?
Brioche.
Brioche. The brioche.
Oh, God. You just...
brioche.
Since Wendy's launched the pretzel bun in July, it has spouted nothing but praise for the Brady sandwich.
I had no idea.
How is Wendy's handling the success? Quitting while it's ahead, it seems. For now, the pretzel bun's days at Wendy's are over.
Well, McDonald's does the same with the McRib. People clamor for the McRib, and it only comes out once a year.
Right, well, that's what they said. They're being teasy. We said all along the pretzel bun was an LTO sandwich.
Limited time only.
Oh. I guess that's, you know, code in the sandwich business.
In the fast food business? Okay.
Everyone's like, what?
Huh? Kind of like the Shamrock
Remember
Shake.
Remember when someone called this week and said that JBL was behind JFK's assassination? We were like, what?
JBL?
Oh, LBJ.
Okay.
Sorry, dyslexic. That's...
JPL?
It's a dyslexic conspiracy theorist.
He was shot from
JBL?
A satellite?
What? Yeah.
I knew NASA was behind it all along.
Yeah, the tweets, the Twitter machine is going crazy, Chris. Someone named Emerald said, well, since Wendy's got rid of the pretzel bun, I'm never going back there again. Nice going, Wendy's.
See, that's why I don't...
Thanks, Obama.
That's why I don't
follow... No more pretzel.
I don't follow those kinds of people on Twitter. I don't pollute
people
my...
People that know LTO means limited time only
sandwich.
Yeah,
I don't pollute my Twitter feed with that kind
also,
of thing.
Also, the McRib?
No ribs in it.
Right.
What the...
Oh, we found another item from thisiswhyyourefat.com. What sort of... because tomorrow is official food day.
Yes,
it's gluttony day in America.
It's a chirpumple.
Chirpumple.
Which would be
yes.
What now? We would know it from?
Okay, it is a cherry pie baked in a layer of yellow cake, topped with a pumpkin pie baked into a layer of yellow cake, and then a apple pie baked into a layer of yellow cake.
Gah.
And they're stacked on top of each other and then frosted.
I'm getting diabetes just hearing about it.
Oh, I've just gone into a diabetic coma.
Yes.
Wow.
Charles
that
Phoenix
is
famous for that.
And pie. Yeah.
Who? Charles Phoenix.
Oh.
He's like a local celebrity who celebrates the mid-century modern aesthetic.
Rose from the ashes.
Hmm. What does this double pie cake need? Oh, I know. Another pie in a cake.
Yeah. Three pies in a cake.
Covered with frosting.
Chirpumple.
And gravy.
Oh, it needs something. It's not sweet enough. Oh, frosting.
Frosting with some sugar on top of it.
Well, yep. Yeah. Okay, Jen in Maryland.
Black and chocolate with happy butterscotch.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jen.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yay.
I wanted to weigh in on this whole Alec Baldwin needs to be, punished, fired, whatever, for something he said. I'm not defending it. What I am saying is that there's a huge double standard here. When Rush Limbaugh gets fired for playing Barack the Magic Negro, calling Sandra Fluke a slut, when Mark Levin gets fired for, referring to Nancy Pelosi as Stretch Pelosi, when the ad hominem attacks are actually have consequences on the right, then you can talk about... what somebody says off the air in a fit of whatever Alec Baldwin is.
You're right. You take almost any right-wing radio host, Jen, on any day of the week, and they probably say more offensive things.
But that just proves that our side is better than their side. We hold our people to account when they do something wrong. The other side doesn't. They make excuses.
Holding our people to account is one thing, but firing somebody or, suggesting that they be fired... I think we're going over the top.
His ratings weren't the best anyway. I think they were looking for an excuse as well.
Well, okay, then. Chris, I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I love you guys so much.
I love you, too. I think that's a really interesting point, though, she brings up. I mean, that's the other thing. I think where is the part of that story that is not, what was deeply offensive is Sarah Palin comparing the debt to slavery, and that's just one day of the week. She has no job. She can't be fired. Or she would quit if she did have a job.
Exactly.
So she doesn't need to be fired.
Right.
She quits already. But I mean, anyway, we went through the examples the other week. A bunch of right wingers comparing things to slavery, and that's not deeply offensive. Comparing things to the Holocaust, this every other day there's somebody comparing, and that's not deeply offensive to people. That,
absolutely, yes. Our side held them to account, but their side didn't hold them to account.
Exactly.
So we're better.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's just automatically pre-fire any liberal because they might say something wrong.
Right. You were pre-fired, Jim, because I know you're going to say something
wrong. But you know what? Using that word isn't good.
No.
It's not good.
Yeah, I was on JVM, as the kids are calling it last night on Headline News.
Joachim von Manstein?
And there's another mayor who's gone wild story out of...
The drunk mayor.
The drunk mayor that was yelling the N-word, though he is black. But it is still offensive. I just think he's not qualified to be mayor. They picked him up for DUI, and he broke a clock.
Was he using the word as a pejorative against
officer or something? No, he was saying, I'm an N-word here because they had him... you know, because he was out of control. And he like, rips a clock off the wall and threw it.
No, I don't know if you can hold him to account for that.
Well, that's bad.
He wasn't hurling it as a pejorative.
What are you talking about, the clock or the N-word?
The N-word. Alec Baldwin was hurling that word as a pejorative to someone else.
I think this guy is qualified to be mayor.
No, he's not.
Mayor Rob Ford copycat crimes now. Stop it, mayors. Settle down. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
I feel like ripping my shirt now.
Do it.
Dumping water.
I will throw water on you.
Please don't.
It's a lot of like.
It's a mini bottle. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Throw
water in a radio studio? What is wrong with the water throwing in radio?
It happened to me once. I didn't do it. My co-host.
Yeah, it happened to me once, too.
Yeah. It's eerie silence.
Yeah.
Nothing.
One of my co-hosts had a pitcher, an entire pitcher of water, and was passing it over the board to his other to his
good
co-host.
Idea. Good idea.
And it fell into the board.
Yes.
Off the air. Yeah.
This particular co-host had kind of an Alec Baldwin level of anger management problem, and he slammed his thing of water down in a little fit, and it went right.
What did you do to press his buttons?
I didn't do nothing.
Oh, come on.
Sure. Just like me. No, it was not aimed at me.
Okay.
I was just sitting there writing my fart jokes.
I know exactly who you're talking about,
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Hello, Wendy in Massachusetts. Hello, Wendy.
Hello. First, I want to say I enjoy your witty repartee and... Repartee came out wrong.
Awesome.
And snarky sidekicks. You're very funny. I enjoy that. But I'm calling about Alec Baldwin. And all my friends know I'm a bit of a big Alec Baldwin fan.
Oh, me too. Me too. I think
Not anymore. Too many mistakes. He's a brilliant man, a brilliant comedian, a lover of the arts, a great promoter of all things positive. But it is true. His anger has just gotten him. He's just a mess. Mm. And until I'm hoping the men's movement gets a hold of this guy and really gets him to work on his anger, because he undermines himself and sabotages himself.
No, I'm a huge fan. I think you're right. He's a great actor. He's a great, he's an incredible comedian.
But we can't have double standards.
No, we can't.
It doesn't make us look good. So, Alec, I loved you. You made me laugh. You're brilliant, but you're deeply flawed. Please get some help. It's breaking my heart.
A set of steak knives.
No, he's used homophobic slurs one too many times.
I'm guessing he would offer you his sweaty balls.
He's used homophobic slurs one too many times. I can't excuse that.
Well, as you know, I have a personal experience with him.
I know you do.
Yeah, we wrote back and forth, and
right.
I think I find him incredibly charming and whatever, and I invited him to be our surprise celebrity panelist twice, once in New York and once in D.C., and I...
You got some nice flowers.
I did get flowers. Well, see, how can I judge, though? In New York, he said he was sick. I can't. How am I going to prove different?
Right.
And in D.C., it was the inauguration, and he was hosting another Vanity Fair thing, and... didn't make it with traffic. I don't know. So I'm just saying, I don't...
Now, if you use a homophobic slur once, yeah, I can excuse that if, you've done other great things.
He did not call me a homophobic slur in any of the letters. That's all I know.
But all the times he's used homophobic slurs are on tape.
I know. Okay. So, by the by, Eugene Robinson of Washington Post, great. Because, again, I can't even watch it. That's why I make you watch Fox. I can't do it. Because I'm like, I joke about, okay, to me, this seems like kind of a stunning diplomatic success, just like Syria, the Iran deal, and, then I tune it over to Fox to find out why it's bad. And Eugene Robinson writes, the U.S.-led deal to freeze Iran's nuclear program is a great accomplishment on many levels. Begin with the most basic. What if the talks in Geneva had failed? If John Kerry and the Iranian foreign minister had come home empty-handed, we would likely be drifting toward war. And that's apparently what, obviously, a lot of these neocons want.
Yeah.
But I'm going, is it, I'm looking. What was the latest poll I saw? I things that make me feel like I'm not crazy. Oh, look, Jim. Americans back Iran deal by a 2-1 more margin, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll. Americans back a newly brokered nuclear deal by Iran by a 2-1 margin and are very wary of the United States resorting to military action against Iran, even if the historic diplomatic effort falls through, according to a new poll. So I thought, am I the only one really, really war-weary?
There's no reason for us to start a war with Iran. Absolutely none.
Right. So Eugene writes, so what did Kerry do in Geneva? He won an agreement that not only freezes Iran's nuclear enrichment program for 6 months, but actually rolls it back. That prevents new nuclear facilities from coming online, provides for unprecedented daily inspections to ensure that Iran is living up to its commitments. In May of next year, Iran will be further away from being able to build a bomb than it is today. So there, that's where I was like, where, and this is bad. How
Fukushima is going to kill the planet anyway, so, you know.
Right. Thanks, Jim, for bringing the sunny side. And this achievement is being attacked with the word appeasement and references to Munich. Give me a break. He says, in return, the U.S. and other leading nations have agreed to spend some minor sanctions that mean a paltry $7 billion to the Iranian economy. Even if negotiations for a permanent agreement ultimately fail, this is a bargain price for 6 months of peace. 6 months, mind you, during which the Iranian nuclear program goes backward, not forward.
This is a bad thing,
Yeah, exactly. And he says, under the Geneva Pact, half of Iran's 20% uranium will be diluted and no more will be produced. A military strike that eliminated half the potential of fuel for a breakout bomb and wiped out the capability to make more would surely be reckoned a success. It's just plain dumb to attack Kerry and Obama for achieving the same thing without firing a shot.
Exactly.
Which is exactly why, how is Syria a debacle or some
kind of... Nothing, blow it up!
So we achieved
it.
Is this just dumb luck again with John Kerry and President Obama? That really, we've achieved this without firing a shot. And I get that it's like to be continued in both Syria and Iran.
What if I want to fire a shot? Ow!
I just effing shot myself. Critics can't plausibly oppose the agreement on practical grounds. The real reason they're freaking out is the agreement was made possible by the most extensive high-level bilateral contacts between Washington and Tehran since the 1979 Iranian Revolution. The election of Rouhani, a moderate in the context of the radical Islamic regime, suggests that Iran may be ready to change its relationship with the West from confrontation to coexistence. Obama has signaled a willingness to test this proposition. Period, right? And he ends, regimes do evolve, sometimes in ways that make the world a safer place. Obama is boldly asking the question, can it happen in Iran? I mean, I'm telling you, I think history one day, will record this president as a great president. And right now, it's just... I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe where somehow that's bad, seen as bad. Ay, Hitler, Munich. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't cook a Thanksgiving dinner. All I can make is cold cereal and maybe toast.
That's right. I've seen you make toast.
I can do it. 34 minutes after the hour. Coffee with Carlos El Rocky coming up at the top of the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tony in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tone.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, girl. I was just calling about Chris to tell him, it's Alec Baldwin, for God's sake. I mean, really, I don't get all, if I got pissed every time somebody used the N-word, I would be crazy right about now. I call that so much in college, it was like my name. Oh, I mean, not to say.
That doesn't make
that
it okay.
I'm sorry?
It doesn't make it okay that you were called that.
Oh, no, it doesn't make it okay. No, at all. Which there is no other meaning for that word. Now, for the F word, it is a cigarette. I mean, it's not...
Yeah, I don't think he was calling the paparazzi a cigarette.
Listen, in college, I would have been your fierce white girl best friend. I would have punched everybody that called you that.
Oh, well, good. I know you will, girl. Me and you.
Yes, yeah, right.
No, but I'm just saying you have to at some point, you know, really, like you said, Chris, I really think the only reason they dropped him is because the ratings were bad.
Yeah.
If he was on top of his game, he could have got it was saying it. Or what happens is in the community, put it out there and then let people bring the ratings right back down and get him off the air. That's all I'm saying. At some point, you know, we not have to be so sensitive everywhere because it's not like he's an ambassador for love and everything anyway, which I think he's hilarious too. But I'm just saying, if we get so sensitive every little thing somebody says and does,
but you know what?
You go crazy.
Is it a double standard that Paula Deen lost her job, you know, and you don't... is there any difference between this and Paula Deen?
Yes.
There is?
Yes.
Really?
Because Paula Deen having a slavery party, I mean, he just flew off the handle, which we know he does, and I'm not excusing it. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying he could have been left on the air and then see what the public says, and soon he would have been off the air anyway. I mean, he was hired because of his anger management problem. Let's be real. People are looking for something to be entertaining. Paula Deen, come on now. It's a whole, because there's such a history behind all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you should have.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, it's offensive. Don't get me wrong, I am not, taking up for the man. But I'm just saying, we need to look at the politics of all this stuff. You could have got him off the air, or not you, but I'm just saying the general community would have been like, come on.
Time
for you to go.
What is happening with your phone, Tony?
I'm just not a fan of double standards, you know?
It's not a double
standard. I think it is.
Exactly. Look what the media gets away with black people every day. And people still have jobs. Let's be real.
I don't think you hear news anchors hurl the N-word every day.
What do you think about the black mayor that hurled the N-word at himself? On that police
videotape. He's just ignorant anyway.
That's
so
just an idiot drunk.
He's already knocked himself off the box, so
yeah.
You don't have to worry about him anymore.
Right. Yeah, and I, by the way, I get drunk every day and call myself a lame-ass cracker, so I don't know what, you know, if it's the truth.
You are so fun. You give me hope, Stephanie.
You give me hope, Tony. I love you.
All right.
You too.
I would have been her punching best friend in college. I mean, would you just call her? Right in the... You sorority bitch. Christine in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, listen, I was just calling about to make that same point about Paula Deen, because I think, you know, she was raked over the coals for, you know, using something, for using the N-word while she was, you know, not on the air or anything like that.
Right.
And she couldn't use that as an excuse that, well, you know, that's the way I grew up, you know, whereas they're kind of giving Alec Baldwin that kind of a pass. Well, you know, when he was a kid, that's kind of how guys used to talk about things like that, you know.
And therein lies the double standard, I believe.
Mm. Right, exactly, you know. So I think that, you know, if it's good for one, it's good for the other. I didn't agree with Paula Deen, you know. I didn't think that was good for her. But I was kind of ambivalent about her being fired about it, too.
Yeah.
I thought,
you know, Paula Deen was never caught on tape using the N-word. Alec Baldwin was caught on tape several times using the F-word.
He does have these anger problems, that's for sure, you know. So I don't know. I think that, you know, he is a good person, I think, in a lot of ways. But he lets his anger carry him away, and you know, he gets in trouble for it. You know, but I think that there should be consequences for it, because if you're going to be an advocate, you know, for equality and fairness, you know, then you shouldn't go around saying things like that.
And Christine, to what degree is any kind of problem, anger problem, alcohol problem, an excuse? That's one thing I've never gotten. I mean, trust me, as someone. That's had a drink now and again. I've never used a racial slur when I get drunk, and I'm not, you know, I'm just saying I don't know, you know, and that's something we've discussed before. Does alcohol make you do that? Does an anger problem make you suddenly homophobic or racist? I don't know.
Well, I know
No. And that's just like, the excuse that, what's his name used when he went off on his drunken rant. Oh, I'm sorry.
Michael Richards?
No, not Michael Richards.
Rob Ford? Mayor Ford.
I get bad.
There's so many people.
Well,
it wasn't Jerry Ford.
I know.
So little time, so many idiots.
Exactly. Mel Gibson. Well, I was drunk when I said that. Well, you know, in Vino Veritas.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but that's exactly my point, Christine. A lot of people drink. They don't suddenly become racist and homophobic or whatever it is in that particular case.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If you remember that message to his phone message to his daughter, yeah. Alec Baldwin, I mean, obviously the issue is anger. He's got to, you know.
Yes. He needs to be accountable for that, and he needs to check himself and find out, you know, why he has these problems. But, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
As far as him losing that show, well, you know, I watched that show a couple of times, and he was a very boring interviewer.
That's what I see. I never watched it, but I've heard that it was just dreadfully boring.
And I just say his hairdresser may have been a gay, because somebody was not happy that did his hair.
All the kids are doing it.
It's because he's a really handsome guy, yeah. I think.
There's a reason why he's a movie star.
I know why he's angry, because he had to stop drinking to be with his hot yoga instructor wife.
Right.
And someone asked him, do you miss it? Of course I miss it! What a stupid question! Shut up!
You blank sucking blank blank.
I'm gonna give you a set of steak knives in your face.
No hot yoga instructor is worth it. Trust me. My wine remains my best friend.
Oh dear.
Well, I speak as someone that is, you know,
drunk.
Right, and also a rude, thoughtless little pig.
I see. Okay.
And also a dumb cracker. Angel in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Angel.
Hi, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
I love your show.
I love you.
Oh, thank you so much. I just wanted to say, Chris, I really like you. Most of the time, you're really, really cool. And you're also good looking, okay?
Thank you.
But, yeah, you are too, Steph. And, Jim, you're great with your voices, man. You're really great. Mm-hmm. But this about that Martin Brashear and that Alec Baldwin thing, mm-hmm. I was wondering, was the Alec Baldwin thing, I feel like that came right out of his brain and his heart. Where the Martin Brashear thing, I think that was repeated because of the football player thing that was going on with Sarah Palin at the time.
The football player thing, what do you mean?
I believe it was Hernandez, and then they were talking about poo-pooing in people's mouths
right.
or something. I thought, well, you know, Martin was, he didn't get, reprimanded off the show, but he did get reprimanded.
Martin Brashear was using a historical reference.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
That was a pretty highbrow poo joke, actually.
It was.
It wasn't a joke.
Right.
I mean, it was a very vivid illustration about what the horrors of slavery
were. Right.
What some of them actually were, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Liz in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Liz.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that I got through. I can't believe I'm
here. Oh my God, me too.
I love you. Please come back to New York. I missed you because of the snowstorm, but please come back to New York or Boston. Chris, I agree with you 120%. When Paula Deen was, when they were hounding Paula Deen for the, to me, mm-hmm. it's basically the same thing. The caller before, I felt she was, to me, she was wrong. It's the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, because you're constantly saying the same thing, and you're constantly making these remarks, and they're constantly letting you get by. He should be stopped. He should have been stopped a long time ago. He should have been called off the carpet a long time ago. Chris, I agree with you 120%. I love you guys.
I love you back.
Thank you.
Well, and, you know, the other thing is you can say people like Alec Baldwin and Sean Penn are really good liberals with their heart in the right
Absolutely.
Place that have done a lot of real work for real people. That being said, they obviously both have an anger problem. And I'm not saying the paparazzi don't go way over the line
and can be
dirtbags, but I'm just saying not every celebrity reacts to them the way Alec Baldwin and Sean Penn do.
And you can insult the paparazzi some other way without using a very, very hurtful term.
Right. Right. Jane and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm going back to what you just said about the paparazzi. They feed into it. They know he has an anger problem, and they hound him. Not that he's excused for what he said, but the paparazzi there has to be some laws as far as leaving people alone like they have in Europe, because they know how angry he gets.
Jane, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's chicken or the egg. I think and that's sadistic. I mean,
and
I think that
run into it all the time.
That they provoke them to try to obviously get that shot, because you get more money for that shot
Absolutely.
Or that video.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right, good point. Thank you, Jane. All right, forward. Good rousing discussion, everybody.
Thank you.
Whew, 45 minutes after the hour. It's a pre-vacation show, and we're making good points.
Oh, dear.
What? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. She's got it great. She's crafty. And she's just my type. She's
crafty. I see what you did there.
Uh-huh.
I see. Okay. Because.
Course.
Course. A, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. And B, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a dispute over President Obama's health care law, whether businesses like Hobby Lobby can use religious objections to escape a requirement to cover birth control for employees. And I said, what is Hobby Lobby?
You asked me what Hobby Lobby was. And I said, it's a craft store.
And I said, I'm not crafty.
That's right.
And hence the
You go. Here is the Hobby Lobby founder.
Yep.
David
Green. We believe wholeheartedly that it is by God's grace and provision that Hobby Lobby has been successful.
Right.
Therefore, we seek to honor him in all that we do.
They're closed on Sundays.
Hold on with your prayers. I got to do something about Hobby Lobby.
They're closed on Sundays. They play Christian music over the loudspeakers in the stores.
And they want to help with the overpopulation problem in the world.
Well, yeah, and they don't carry Hanukkah decorations, but they do carry Christmas decorations.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not that kind, not the Jewy kind of crafts.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. David Green again.
We do everything we possibly can to be a help to our employees of how that they can structure their life based on biblical principles.
Which biblical principles?
Oh, yes. I see.
You know.
Okay.
Old Testament?
Yeah, are they
Sharia law?
Are they cutting their hair at the temples?
Then... Okay, and one
my convictions time. Enter into how we run our business.
Right. Mm. Wow. Doesn't sound very separation-y of church and state. Do it?
Do they serve shrimp, cheese, and pork sandwiches there?
Well, they don't serve food there, but I bet you they sell cotton poly blend.
Yeah.
Fabrics.
Uh-huh.
Somebody needs to get stoned then.
Eric, everybody must
not
get
like
stoned.
That. Eric in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I actually called in about the Alec Baldwin statement, but I actually live where they have Hobby Lobby, so I can jump in on this one, too. I don't understand how Hobby Lobby can make such statements without taking into consideration that if we allow them to implement their Judeo-Christian values.
Not even Judeo-Christian, it's just Christian.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Leave it at the Judeo
actually,
part.
Evangelical Christian.
Right.
How's that? Why would we not allow the same conditions to be for Sharia law businesses where they would want to implement whatever Sharia law.
Sharia law.
You know, or Sharia.
That would not.
You're thinking of Shania Twain.
Shania Twain law.
Yeah.
You do not want to mess with that. She's, you know what? It doesn't impress
she's
her
get
much.
You good.
Does not impress
she's
her not much at all.
By anything. Certainly not by Sharia law.
Use that term. Do you have any Hanukkah napkins? No, we don't have the Jewy crafts. Do you think they say that?
I know that Hobby Lobby opened up in a very Jewish suburb of New York City in New Jersey.
Interesting.
And yeah, they didn't. They refused to carry any Jewish crafts of any kind.
That's not very good business.
No, it really isn't.
You all run along somewhere else to find your little blue Jewy candles.
Yeah.
Scat now.
We only have red and green.
Tom in Detroit.
Hello.
Blue, Democrat, Socialist,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Tom.
Hello. Before the Affordable Care Act, wasn't companies like Hobby Lobby and others, weren't they paying for private health care that provided contraception? And they didn't seem to make a fuss about it then.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yep.
Right. That's what I thought.
It's only when the government kind of required it that they raised a stink.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Eric.
You guys have it wrong. This is not about Hobby Lobby. This is about what a corporation can and can't do. They're not an individual. They don't have individual religious rights. They simply have to abide by the laws that all corporations have to abide by.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are they going to do next? You know, not give women equal pay?
Yeah, you don't get to dictate your employees' beliefs. You can have your own.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could have a religion that believes all kinds of kooky things, and I can't apply that for discriminatory purposes.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be like telling the mooks, you can't use condoms. You're like, what business is that? Just shush.
Well, the Flying Spaghetti Monster says that I should.
Right, right. I wonder, what do you think is on the plays on the, you know, music at the Hobby Lobbies?
No, it's really awful, treacly Christian contemporary music.
At least play some classical music.
They have Hobby Lobby in Arizona, so I've actually stepped foot in one. It's like crazy.
Play the Weihnachtsoratorium.
Do they put up a sign so you don't? The Jews don't bother even coming in? We don't carry Jewy crafts?
No, no. You have to find that out for yourself.
Right? You got to go walk in and ask.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking of music, my future husband, Michael Tomosky, who we just had on yesterday, who wanted to date and kiss and marry, did you see his tweet? He said, his article today, Obama and the Munich Katrinas. He says, I tweeted yesterday, it wouldn't be a bad name for a band. Except it's already taken by this caucus of paranoiacs and fearmongers. And he's talking about the right. He said they howl about Munich. They want this deal to be Obama's Katrina, the Iran deal. They want everything to be Obama's Katrina, hence the Munich
Katrina. Katrina and Munich.
Right.
At the same time.
And he said the same thing I was just saying a little while ago. If a long-term deal is reached, history will have favorable verdicts to render on Barack Obama and John Kerry. And by the way, Hillary Clinton, who was instrumental in assembling the sanctions regime that brought Iran to the table. The Munich Katrinas will be, well, I don't remember anyone saying blessed are the warmongers, the warmakers. Bibi Netanyahu, of course, is the lead singer of the MKs, mm-hmm. prancing across the stage with his little snidely whiplash drawings of bombs. But don't be fooled into thinking he speaks for Israel. He speaks for Israel's right. And then he talked about the Israeli military brass. Don't see this through Bibi's eyes at all. They're willing to give negotiation a chance. I thought that was an interesting fun fact there. Anyway, he goes on to say it took some courage to say the president in 2008 that he'd negotiate with the one country in the world that even stupid Americans identify as an archenemy. And it takes courage today to follow through on it. In contrast, it requires no courage to denounce every attempt at a peaceful solution as betrayal. History shows them to be wrong all the time, except on Munich. Someone made this point yesterday. The one example they can point to in virtually all of recorded history, when we really were in a clash of cultures with an adversary who had the might to destroy our way of life, and when the leaders who sought compromise did, in fact, err. That was true then, but it hardly makes every situation Munich. Michael Tomosky!
And Munich has never been hit by a hurricane, as far as I know.
Right.
Oh, I found out why he had to... had to rush off the phone yesterday.
Why?
Because MSNBC was having him on.
Oh, whatever. Raji in Louisiana.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. Look here. On this Hobby Lobby thing, you know, 95% of their product comes from China.
Interesting.
China opposes abortion.
That's right.
Hey, that's, well, there's a big fat
wheel of
well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Hypocrites.
Right?
That's right.
I'm sure they will reverse their policy immediately.
Of course they will.
This hypocrisy is pointed out to them.
But like that previous caller said, this isn't just about Hobby Lobby. It's about any company trying to dictate standards for religious standards for their employees. Mm-hmm. And we can't allow that to happen.
Sounds kind of unconstitutional.
Right.
Although with the current makeup of the Supreme Court, I don't know how this is going
to... Yeah, I hope this isn't John Roberts' like do-over to suck up to the right wing on Obamacare.
I think it's
going to
be. I think it's going to go that way, unfortunately.
Ugh. 58 minutes after the hour, Coffee with Carlos Alzraqui next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Why? Because I have a SodaStream. Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by SodaStream this hour.
Speaking of
delicious beverages.
That's good coffee.
I take it black, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos El Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos El Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And picked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Yes.
Hola, Carlos.
Good morning. Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Buenos días, Los Ángeles y toda la nación de Estados Unidos que están oyendo el Stephanie Miller Program. I think I said something there.
Good morning, sir.
Sábado gigante.
We were just talking about Hobby Lobby. Kristen,
Hobby Lobby. Why don't you make religion your hobby somewhere else?
There you go.
Yeah.
Kristen Yankton writes, Hobby Lobby, if they get to discriminate based on their religious beliefs, how about a company run by Christian Scientists or Jehovah's Witnesses? Can they forbid employees from having blood transfusions?
Or vaccinations.
There you, exactly.
We don't believe in vaccinations.
Right.
You're not covered.
Right.
So we brought up the Scalia religious exemption law.
Okay.
And it was Employment Division versus Smith. The Supreme Court said that Oregon may deny unemployment benefits to people who were fired for consuming peyote as part of a religious tradition, seeing as the drug was illegal in the state. Scalia wrote, to permit this would be to make the professed doctrines of religious belief superior to the law of the land,
huh.
And in effect, to permit every citizen to become a law unto himself. Huh.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
That should make our heart soar like a hawk, shouldn't it?
Makes my heart soar like a hawk. I've never been invisible before.
What if they were to call it maize instead of peyote?
We're smoking maize.
You set this dangerous precedent when you start to break down the separation of church and state. Then anybody can say anything. My religion forbids that you get Band-Aids, because Band-Aids seal in the devil. The devil sealers.
The devil can't escape.
They're sealing the devil. We won't cover Band-Aids. Not in this office, we won't. Now,
the
get
Stephanie
back
Miller
to your
Show
cubicle.
Does not believe that Band-Aids seal in the devil.
They do.
Apologize for
you and your
spewing
strips.
Unwise medical advice
Satan strips.
Via Carlos.
We dare not cover Satan strips on our insurance.
Especially the ones with SpongeBob SquarePants on them.
That's right. Would you like to cover your wound? I'll see that it heals.
Can you bind your wounds with socks?
You're not my infection!
What?
Why don't you put the band-aid on the dummy? Please, put the band-aid on the dummy.
What kind of band-aid do you know, need when you
so
spend
people who
yourself with them?
So people who cut themselves are letting the devil out? Is that the...
Yeah, you're letting the devil out?
Devil out.
Sue in Rockville, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Sue.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
You too.
Wish you happy parties and lots of turkey.
Yeah.
Listen, I belong to an affiliate of the church Jim belongs to. I'm at the synagogue of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And if we can pick and choose, like corporations and people or corporations, then my church, my synagogue says that I don't have to pay for things if I really need them. So I'm going to go to Hobby Lobby and just take everything I want. I may resell it on eBay, but I'm going to go and buy whatever I take whatever I want. I don't have to pay for it because I'm choosing not to obey that law.
You just say, I will take my Jewy business elsewhere. My Jewy crafty business somewhere else,
right.
Hobby Lobby.
And they don't sell stuff to make latkes anyway.
No, they don't.
So what good are they, really, when you get right down to it?
Especially it's Thanksgiving cut tomorrow.
What?
Thanksgiving cut? It's Thanksgiving cut tomorrow. It's the first time in like 7,000 years that Thanksgiving
and
Hanukkah merge are on the same day.
That's great. Yeah.
Normally it's Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa. Right,
yeah.
It emerges closer to...
It's okay if you're Muslim, a Christian or a Jew.
Right.
It's okay if you're agnostic and you don't know what to do. An all-inclusive celebration with ignoble lubrication. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa to you.
And the pagans, too.
In some ways, we're all monkeys, but maybe just a smidgen.
I'm a gynecologist.
Well, now that's my kind of religion.
Whose faith is the right one? If anybody's guess. What matters most is coming from $450 less. Everyone's invited. It's a planet wide affair. Hey, isn't that tiny Tim dancing in his underwear? Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa to you.
Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Happy Christmas, Kwanzaa. She literally sings better than Yoko.
Yes.
If only I had met her first. What a dreamy voice.
The Beatles would still be together.
Happy Christmas!
She's got a wonderful voice. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's perfect. That's the way I like it.
How do you think that conversation went? I'm not a good singer. Oh, and honey, so you must be exaggerating.
Remember the famous sketch we did on your show?
Yes.
When she was in the lead interrogator. It was good cop. It was good cop. Yoko cop. All right, you don't want to tell me.
Carlos was one of Stephanie Miller players on my late night TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the 40s when television was in black and white. I remember running into Myrna Loy on the lot.
That's right.
How's that after?
I do remember doing, I have no idea why. Remember Mary Tyler Moore and Yoko Ono singing a duet?
Yeah.
Karen Murayama and I did, and it took about 7,500 takes because she made me laugh so hard every time I couldn't. Because I don't even remember what the sound was. It was like a cat in
like a whale.
Like in a soda stream, something. It was just, right. Oh, we sang Close to You.
A cat caught in a soda stream?
Yeah, we sang Close to You. I don't remember why. And that was her part, was the, you know.
Huh.
Just a throwback.
All right.
Happy Christmas, Quantica.
Speaking of singers, Jim, you were mentioning, this is a weird story. Ozzy Osbourne demands curry despite being in an Italian restaurant. When you're a rock star, apparently.
I could murder a curry about now. But, sorry, we're in an Italian restaurant. Yeah, but I want curry. All right. Well, guess we'll go out and get some takeaway for you.
Can we watch Stephen Curry of the Warriors play basketball on the television? That would be close enough.
I'm going to try that. I think only rock stars can get away with that. They actually went and got takeout and brought it.
Yeah.
Takeaway.
It's like, takeaway in London.
It's called takeaway.
Right. You can't get sushi. You're in McDonald's.
First you take it away, and then you take it out. But if you take it out,
a curry about
before
now.
You take it away, then you're reaching it there in the restaurant, aren't you?
Actually, McDonald's in Hawaii has sushi.
Oh.
No kidding. Yeah, really?
But it's spam sushi.
Okay. Well, it doesn't glow in the dark then.
No.
The real sushi probably does at this point.
All right. Buddy in Columbus on the Alec Baldwin controversy. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, Mom. I'm not thinking the spirit of Thanksgiving. We should just forgive Alex for this thing.
And he wouldn't forgive you for calling him Alex. He would punch you.
Okay. But Alex. The important thing is I just want to say to Carlos, muy olas en feliz ascensión gracias.
Thank you very much. El día de acción de gracias. El día del pavo. Thanksgiving turkey day.
We were talking about the whole, you know, MSNBC fired Alec Baldwin, and, you know, he said how come, you know, Martin Bashir
did not get a set of steak knives.
No, he did not.
No, they did not close. Was he on his cell phone and refused to get off?
He was actually playing Words with Friends, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
On the plane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, well, Chris, you were saying, Chris was saying that he thinks that it's because it's been a history of using a homophobic slur when he's angry.
If it were once, then, you know, that... They can excuse that.
But I also said it was off air. And so, you know, and his point is what Martin Bashir said was on air about Sarah Palin. But I, you know.
I think you and Ann Coulter should walk arm in arm with Alec Baldwin to the Golden Globes together on either side.
Yikes.
All we're saying is give bitches a chance.
Oh, we are saying.
No, she came to his defense as well. Apparently he yelled at a paparazzi person.
Right.
And it was off air. It wasn't on air. And somebody found out. As opposed to Martin Bashir, who I think is still there.
Right. He is still there. Right. But Martin Bashir was using a historical reference. Something awful that slave masters did to their slaves.
Right. He didn't actually
He didn't just randomly say hey.
Someone crap in Sarah Palin's mouth, you know.
Maybe Alec Baldwin belongs in an NFL locker room, where apparently, according to Martin from the Miami Dolphins, all is fair game. You can just say anything you want. Maybe not on the air.
You're saying he's a thoughtless little pig?
Yeah. you don't condone that kind of language. He's got to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. And what we were saying, I think it's more of a pattern thing than a...
It's a pattern of using that...
Yeah. It's like
those slurs.
You know, you use a little bit. A little bit. You're a little bit homophobic.
A little bit.
Alec, come on.
But he has enthusiasm.
Kim Basinger was a man anyway. Come on.
Enthusiasm. A little bit.
And so getting back to your original point, I think Dan Savage let him off the hook.
Yeah. Well,
way too easily.
Dan Savage. Well, but thank you for bringing it all full circle back to me and Sexy Liberal. December 14th in Seattle, Dan Savage will be our celebrity guest on panel. Jim Ward has just dropped a bomb on me that he will be... coming with harmonicas.
I have no idea what
to MC Sexy Liberal Seattle. We're very, very excited. And some very, very exciting Sexy Liberal announcements in 2014.
Oh. 2013?
For 2014.
Oh,
I wonder what they could be, Carlos. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with Coffee with
Puppets.
Coffee with Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Go. You are near, just like me.
They long to be close to Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Don't think I'd want those birds close to you.
No.
That was the sketch, remember? Yoko only sang the wah part. All right.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Now it's Yoko.
Coffee with comedian Carlos Alz, Rocky, sexy liberal extraordinaire. Oh, by the way, Julie in Seattle has sent a suggestion for a gift for you.
Yes.
Crazy cat lady action figure.
Ooh. Oh, good. Here, kitties. Here, Twilight. Here, Boxcar. Teddy, where's Mommy's little shoe face? Come, 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 Popcorn. That's right. Frisky time. Frisky. Help Mommy.
The sad part is nobody helped Mommy.
No, no. She didn't have a medic alert bracelet. She lived in a state where they didn't expand Medicaid. So.
Right.
Thank you, Governor Rick Scott.
By the way, I can get Amazon because you know I'm addicted, Chris.
Yes.
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
It's all the fun of having a real cat lady without the allergies. Comes with six cats. Only six?
Only six? Come on.
Amateur.
All the teats are taken.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, so obviously holiday's coming up. You have Riley, who's two.
Yes.
You're Christmas shopping, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Holiday
They're
Christmas.
They're more than two.
And now it's time for Carlos's charming story of having a spawn.
Well, she's having a sympathy pregnancy along with Mommy. She keeps saying,
because you have another one on the way.
Another one coming. And it's the chosen one. That's what we're calling it.
Yes.
Not to make Riley jealous. But she's like, Mommy, this baby comes out of your belly button. And now she knows the truth. So Riley walks around going, baby comes out of the JJ in public. Baby's coming out of the JJ. But she calls it my baby. She thinks she's having a baby. My baby's coming out of the JJ. It's a miracle.
Wow.
Does your wife say, please stop talking about Mommy's hooch?
Don't talk about the hooch.
Don't talk about Mommy's
hooch.
And
I'm talking about on the radio.
In Costco, please.
Don't talk about the JJ. That's a technical term.
Oh, by the way, how random is this? First of all, random story for me. I was in hair and makeup next to Mike Tyson at CNN yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And David.
And you have both your ears.
Steph, I dined with Al Franken and his wife Franny last night at Costco.
Oh,
they just got off the plane from D.C., and Franny said he was hungry and had to eat. She needed to stock up for Thanksgiving. Somehow I don't see Yertle Boner or Eric Kander Bitchface sitting down in Costco and visiting with everyone around them. And Franny are the real deal.
Having one of those $1.50 hot dogs.
Well, Boehner was at a diner in a ball cap.
Eric Kander with his face is just...
What is this sample?
This is hideous.
I thought it was going to be whipped cream, and it's... cream cheese.
Oh, this is poor people food, right?
Ugh.
Oh, no wonder they're so stinky.
Spinach dip.
Oh. Start the jet up to take me to a private restroom.
You would not set one little penny loafer into Costco. Remember when
this floor
Ann
is
said
sticky.
That she buys a Mitts shirts at Costco? Oh, please, please.
Sack of crap.
Yeah. As you said, Jim, he would have been like, ooh, poor people material, it burns!
It burns! It burns!
Get it off my skin!
Please proceed, Governor.
All right, oh, looky here, Carlos. CBS News announced Tuesday that 60 Minutes reporter Lara Logan and her producer will be taking a leave. Leave of absence following a damning internal review of their discredited October report on Benghazi.
Yeah.
See you later.
A review conducted by the special events executive producer there confirms that
Lara,
whatever, and her staff had the ability to confirm the now debunked story of Benghazi witness, quote-unquote, Dylan Davies, but failed to use wider reporting sources to do so. They also reply she violated the network speech codes by advocating for a particular U.S. response to Benghazi.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Yeah, Alex is going to go, hey, you want to do some Capital One commercials?
I always thought that she was well-regarded as far as war reporters go.
Yeah. Well, until then.
Well, it is that time, and it is that time of year, Chris, as you know. Little town. All right. Cindy in Michigan, you're on with Carlos. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi.
As a Native American who is not on peyote, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about Hobby Lobby and the argument in front of the Supreme Court. You know, Hobby Lobby is not giving away free insurance with 100% coverage and no copays. So the individual employees would have a say in this, because they still have to pay a portion of that insurance. So by Hobby Lobby denying them the coverage for birth control, you know, whatever is supposed to be covered, that would, it just seems like that would be bad, unconstitutional, whatever. You know, they don't have special rights to deny people if they're paying part of the portion.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, that would, Cindy, when you think about it, I'm sure there's married couples. Like, so you're saying that, you know, you're also doing family planning for people? I mean, I mean, it's just, it's such a slippery slope, in my opinion. Laurel in Orlando, real quick, on Hobby Lobby. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
I was recently hired as a temporary employee. We all were to help set up a new Hobby Lobby in Winter Springs, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few really crazy things that happened during the setup. Every morning we had to stand in a circle and do a prayer.
Oh, wait,
you got to hang on. You got to hang on through the break. I got to hear more about the weird Hobby Lobby rituals. Okay, 29. We did that here, though.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour.
Get the goat in the pentagram.
Shut up!
In addition to wishing all of you a happy Thanksgiving, I want to give a special shout-out to
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that. Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, in the midst of the sipping of the coffee with the Carlos.
Yes.
And Laurel in Orlando telling us about Hobby Lobby pre-work rituals. Now, we have a prayer circle here at the Stephanie Miller Show. With a pentagram and a goat. Go ahead, Lowell.
Okay, this is for a store setup. And we knew we were all hired temporary. They hired about 80 of us, said they would keep 30 to 40. They ended up keeping about 20 of us. So every morning the prayer circle, we didn't have to join in, but a few people didn't. Those were the heathens, of course.
Oh, of course.
Every other day during the setup, they would tell us what we could immediately be terminated for, which was if we had our cell phone on our body, if we reached up and our shirt came up a little bit, we showed a little skin.
Wow.
Or if we cursed, immediate termination. And they told us this every other day for 2 weeks.
Wow. You get fired if you don't do any of those things on this show.
Yeah. Weird. I mean, she makes me do the show with my shirt off.
Right, I quit, exactly. Bitch.
jump ahead. We get to the grand opening, and I'm approaching the manager. I said, hey, how am I doing? Am I in the running for a final job? And he says, if I haven't had a conversation with you, you're safe. So jump 2 weeks past the grand opening. It's a Monday. I work my 9-to-5 shift, at 5 to 5, they call about 30 of us into the break room, and I go, oh, boy, this is it. We're done. No, they have us watch new hire videos. And I went, oh, okay, great. I got a job with these crazy people. 3 days later, they let 30 of us go.
Oh.
And I said, you realize just 2 days ago we watched new hire videos, right?
Oh, my God. Yikes.
They are just crazy, weird, strange people.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it because when you say prayer circle, it seems sounds more like some kind of, you know, religious intolerant, you know.
There was a hidden Jesus in the hire videos, and you were supposed to spot him.
Well, you know, the goat and the pentagram, I mean, that brings up a very valid point. I mean, could you force us to undergo your religious rituals?
I'm going to try. Well, if I had any.
Well, I know. But, I mean.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to come up with some weird ones.
You
must
suck on my dogs.
I mean, what if you go to work for a Satanist and, they make you.
You have to express Max's anal glands.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
I don't really know.
It just allows the glands to.
You've never done it, apparently.
So. No.
No, but a vet has.
Mark's Mobile Grooming will do it, too. Mark's Mobile Grooming here in the Valley.
Okay, thanks.
Salon.
All right, thank you. All right, so you are the obviously the father of Riley. And
yes,
we know, do we know if number two is a girl or boy?
We do not know. We're eschewing technology at this point and asking all technicians to keep the freaking trap shut. You give away this baby.
It's going to be consequences.
It's going to be consequences. Truth or consequences, like the old game show. No, we don't know what it is. It's a mystery baby. But we're excited. It's
you have enthusiasms.
I have teeth, too. Can you milk me, Jack?
This is an interesting story. Here's the headline. Why parents of daughters are more likely to vote Republican.
Uh-oh.
It seems, liberal ladies, that there might be finally be an explanation for your Republican parents. You. And works in my case, it's true. Yep, a new study found that families with a first child who's a daughter or with more daughters than sons are 11% more likely to be headed by Republicans. We have three girls, including the first child in our family and one boy.
Hmm. These headphones are starting to burn. My daughter started me Republican.
The study said parents of daughters, it seems, have an interest in reducing male promiscuity. And encouraging greater male investment in their children, consistent with the conservative family policies of the Republican Party.
No.
Well, I tricked them out of that one.
Exactly. It's not happening to me. No, I want free birth control for everyone. Because, you know, the guys aren't going to be responsible. Yeah, I got something. It's a deli bag from...
I have a condom from
it with some scissors and tie it off.
I have a condom from 1974.
Oh, it's lubricated.
Where is my stoner music? Now that we're on the, now that you're going all Todd on our ass.
Yeah.
Who was he originally? Oh, he was the mayor of Santa Cruz, Todd.
Ah, Santa Cruz banana slugs,
Cops say stoned ghost hunters burned a mansion down in Louisiana. Seven people have been arrested in connection with a fire that destroyed... a house in St. Bernard Parish.
But did they start the fire, or was it the ghost?
Or
was it Billy Joel?
Billy Joel did.
Casper the arsonist ghost, dude.
The suspects believed to have been smoking marijuana and drinking in the vacant house when the fire broke out around 2 a.m. Friday. The men between the ages of 17 and 31 apparently looking for ghosts at the mansion.
Mm, and they almost became ghosts in the process.
Right, which had long been the subject of ghost stories in St. Bernard.
Yeah, it's a total backdraft. It's like a backdraft.
Dude, don't cross the stream.
There's a floating gas can, man.
Important safety tip. Thank you, Egon.
More on this study. A paper published in Journal of Politics found that little boys who grew up with sisters are more likely to become Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Having sisters makes males more politically conservative in terms of their gender attitudes and partisanship.
Hmm.
Again, case in point, my Republican brother, who has been trying to kill me since I was a child. He hung me. He dug a grave for me in the basement. He used to shoot me with his baby gun.
Wow, you should have been on American Horror Story.
Didn't he also used to spit toothpaste on your head?
No, he would let it almost get to my face, and then he would suck it back up.
It was sort of like Gitmo stuff.
It was waterboarding, but with Crest.
Crest boarding. Toothpaste boarding.
Right.
Fluoride boarding.
But minty.
I can see that where, you want to be more protective, the old tradition of, I'm going to have a shotgun when people come to date my daughter. I could see you wanting to be protective of your daughter, but I don't see that skewing. The reverse is true, because if you broaden it into things like climate change and things like that, no, I want to make sure there's more solar power and wind power. I want to make sure there's less pollution so that my daughter and or other children that may be a daughter or a son can live longer, healthier lives. So in that sense, it's making me more liberal or less conservative.
Right. Yeah. Oh, in my brother's defense, by the way, he did, it was kind of an uneven arms race, but he gave me his hand-me-down BB pistol when he got that fancy pump-action rifle one.
The faulty pistol one.
Yeah, the pistol shot, like, cockeyed. And so it...
Right.
It wasn't really fair, but I would hear the pumping. That's like as I was running. Give me a head start. He would say, "Steffi, run." So at least I had like a, you know.
Run, Forrest, run.
All right. Noon, 10 paces.
And I would hear the pumping before I hear the thwack that would, you know, BB in the middle of my back. It would send me into the well-trimmed Republican hedges.
Edward Scissorhands. I made an elephant.
All right. Clint Eastwood's daughter regrets her drunken wedding. Yes. A little more than a week ago, Clint Eastwood's gorgeous daughter got hitched to Jonah Hill's pit-stained brother in a drunken Las Vegas ceremony, according to the New York Post.
If she regrets it, she wasn't drunk enough.
Sounds like The Hangover.
I forget my drunken wedding is what you want.
This is mean. They are calling him Shrek lookalike.
Oh.
Well, he kind of does.
They were married by an Elvis impersonator.
Of course, as you do.
TMZ reported Francesca had immediate regrets. The wedding was fueled by alcohol, and she is seeking an annulment from Shrek.
Oh, but she has a Republican father. I don't see how that can happen.
What?
Children of Republicans can either have babies out of wedlock or drunken weddings. How does it?
I know what you're thinking. Did I have 5 cocktails or only 6?
What?
No, what?
That doesn't
make
sense. No.
What? Wow, somebody must care about this story or would not be in USA Today. It's the big colored paper that everybody reads.
The colored paper?
Oh, jeez. What do you mean?
Staff?
Sections are different colors.
Okay.
I like purple. I like purple.
Yeah.
It's not a colored paper.
I didn't mean it like that. How dare you drag me into a racial controversy and try to get me fired by
MSNBC? I don't have any problem.
All three of us went there.
I have
as
no
soon as you said
problem
that's
with
your
what
mother
you
would
just
say.
Said or implied.
That's what sort of thing your mother would say. Oh, yes. That's the colored paper.
My mother would not say that.
Just pretend we're at a tea party rally.
My mother would not use the word colored.
We're at a tea party rally. She said nothing wrong.
No, she does the whispery, the other thing. She doesn't say colored. She just, you know, politely whispers. Oh, no, not that.
Oh, my goodness, he's black.
Right. Okay, my point is, the White House wedding crasher.
Oh, Mikhail Salahi.
Right, and the member of Journey. Are having
Neil Schon.
Neil Schon.
Right,
or
having
player.
A pay-per-view wedding, because apparently people must.
People will pay for that?
Yeah, what's her name again?
Mikhail Salahi.
Right, known for her White House party crashing.
And for being on The Real Housewives of D.C.
Right. They're tying that on TV. She says, "This is truly my dream wedding, and I'm so excited to share this incredible day with my best friend and love of my life. My heart and my home is wherever Neil is." She's also willing to share the special day with all of us for only $14.95.
And Arnel Pineda, the singer from the Philippines, will be there.
Be broadcast live in HD on pay-per-view, cable, satellite. Oh, if I get married, that's not going to be in HD, that's for sure.
Neil Schon used to play with Carlos Santana.
That's right.
He was
back in the Woodstock days.
Right.
She said, ultimately, we thought, hey, why give up creative control? We can do the whole thing live and share the wedding and the music directly with our fans who've been... Okay, so the whole point of this whole story is she has fans? Who's... You know who I'm a huge fan of is that woman that crashed the White House party that time. Remember?
Mikhail Salahi.
Right.
Blonde lady.
Fans?
With the guy.
All I'm saying is...
I don't know. One of your fans!
Really? I would pay $14.95 to see her wedding because she's... Okay. All right. Hey.
You're saying you're not going to welcome her with open arms?
Well, if you've been on a Real Housewives of so-and-so, you have some level of celebrity. Some level of celebrity-ish.
Yeah. I was a basic cable celebrity.
Who hasn't been?
That's where I yell at people in public.
People still recognize you from Reno 911.
Yeah, I go to a restaurant and they mess up my order. I go, I'm on basic cable, mate. I make more money in 2 weeks than you do in one. All right? So listen to who you're talking about, Mr. Walmart employee.
All right, let's take the heat off Alec Baldwin for a minute. Chris Brown? Also a tiny bit of an anger management problem.
A little bit.
Booted from rehab for throwing a rock at his mother's car. I'm guessing it has not taken just yet, anger management counseling. He was booted from rehab earlier this month for throwing a rock through his mom's car window. It happened during his 13 days at the Malibu rehab joint for anger management counseling. Chris's mom showed up for a family session, was urging her son to stay in the facility for an extended treatment. Apparently, Chris disagreed.
Oh.
And in a fit of anger, threw a rock through her car window, shattering it.
Little note to the Malibu Treatment Center, remove rocks.
And heavy objects of all kinds.
Exactly.
He threw a Nerf football and it bounced off the car. Everybody's okay.
That's a good idea. Everything should be made of Nerf and anger management clinics.
Go! That makes you more angry that you can't break anything with Nerf.
Go! Everything's Nerf!
Go!
I hate this Tempur-Pedic class.
Damn you, Nerf! 45 minutes after the hour, right back. Remaining, just the bitter stems and seeds and sediments of Coffee with Carlos.
The grounds. The coffee grounds.
Right. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller
filling
show.
The yodeling gap in pop music.
Yeah, there you go. Beth in Minneapolis. Coffee with Jim and Carlos. Hooray. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. Okay. Okay. Michael in New York, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Michael.
Hey there, sexy liberal mama.
Hello.
Hello, and happy Thanksgiving, baby.
Thank you. You too.
You know something? When you guys were talking about people being forced into some rituals, why not even add to the fact of people being forced to forget rituals? And I aim towards the CEOs of Walmart and all these other retailers that are forcing employees to work on Thanksgiving while they're at home stuffing their fat, effed up faces.
Oh, did he say?
F. He said F.
Oh, okay. All right. It's hard to say. We might have an Alec Baldwin controversy. I'm not exactly certain what he just said there.
Yeah, effed up.
Oh, Tiny Tim is going to the wrong schools.
Okay. All right. Yes, happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Jim's coming to my pad, so I'm going to start the Thanksgiving family fight early with a guess the quote. Jim, who said, a poll this month found that 61% of Americans who responded still believe that JFK was the victim of a conspiracy, despite the fact that the preponderance of evidence points to Lee Harvey Oswald as a lone assassin.
No,
why do so many people refuse to accept this simple and obvious conclusion? The answer is psychology. Who said that?
Someone who works for the CIA.
Pugliotti.
No, that was a bad guess. Not anyone you like. Michael Shermer in the LA Times yesterday. Just thought it was an interesting.
Yeah, well, he's full of it.
All right.
Ah, oh, God. Well, then.
There are three psychological effects at work here, starting with cognitive dissonance.
Psychological effects.
Or the discomfort felt when holding two ideas that are not in harmony. We attempt to reduce the dissonance by altering one of the ideas to be in accord with the other. In this case, the two discordant ideas are, one, JFK is one of the most powerful people on Earth, who was, two, killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, a lone loser, nobody, Camelot, brought down by a curmudgeon.
Some idiot.
All right.
Oswald was with the YouTube program. He was CIA.
I often wonder, because I know Jim reads the LA Times too, Chris, and I was like, oh, okay, Jim's head is exploding if he's reading.
Before you asked me to send that to you, I saw that at the LA Times website. I'm like, oh, do I send that or...
Don't send it to Jim. Don't.
Actually, I haven't read the LA Times since they fired Robert Scheer.
Well, this is probably good, which is why I don't know why I
hired
Jonah
Goldberg.
This. Anyway, interesting, though, he says that doesn't feel right to balance the scale. Conspiracy elements are stacked onto the Oswald side, the CIA, the FBI, the KGB, the Mafia, Fidel Castro, Lyndon Johnson, and Oliver Stone's telling in his film JFK, the military-industrial complex. Cognitive dissonance was at work shortly after Princess Diana's death, which was a result of drunk driving, speeding, and no speed belt. But princesses are not supposed to die the way thousands of regular people die.
Conspiracies don't happen.
So the British royal family, the British intelligence servants, others had to be fingered as co-conspirators. Do you believe that, the MI6?
I don't know enough about that. I do know that she was very much against landmines, and she pissed off a lot of powerful people. So it's possible.
Dating an Egyptian son.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Oh, are you going with the Egyptian?
I'm going with the Egyptian
pyramid conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were rectangle like the Geico commercial.
Or they could have been driving too fast trying to get away from paparazzi. That's
right. Yeah. Driver was drunk. No seatbelts. Once you believe that one massive sinister conspiracy could be successfully executed in near-perfect secrecy suggests that many such plots are possible. With this cabalistic paradigm in place, conspiracies can be the default explanation for any given
paradigm.
Event. Well, I'm just... Thanks.
Also there.
It's another view.
Right. Right. Just saying. I was...
There, Oswald's prints were not on the rifle. The scope was misaligned. He didn't have nitrate residue on his cheek. And he wasn't up there on the sixth floor
Wait,
at the time.
It was Patton Oswalt.
He was down.
Patton
it was Patton Oswalt.
It was not the Stephanie Miller Show. I would like
Oswald
to apologize to Patton Oswalt and his family, none of whom were involved. Carlos
Lee Patton Harvey
in the JFK
Oswald.
Assassination. Okay, so anyway, no, but my, like we, I was quoting the doctor. Remember talking about JFK being alive if he had a... hadn't had the back
the
brace
back
on. Mm-hmm. And you were saying, oh, that's not true, that's not true. But why would the doctor lie about, he was talking about various wounds.
It wasn't, true. I probably contributed to it because he couldn't really move very much.
He couldn't slump
but
down,
he
right.
But he had degenerative bone disorder in his spine, so he really had to wear the back brace. But
That's why I had Marilyn Monroe come into my office to hold my spine up. She's a certified nurse, and
well.
She played one on TV.
Yes.
Let me read one more, get your reaction. The third psychological effect is confirmation bias, or the tendency to look for and find confirming evidence for what you believe already and to ignore disconfirming evidence. Once you believe, say, 9/11 was an inside job by the Bush administration, you focus on the handful of anomalies of that fateful day and connect them into a seemingly meaningful pattern while ignoring the massive evidence pointing to Al-Qaeda. JFK conspiracy theorists ignore the massive evidence pointing to Oswald while seeking deep meaning in trivial matters such as the man with the umbrella on the grassy knoll and the puff of smoke behind the picket fence or the odd noises echoing around.
Oswald didn't fire that rifle that day. No one could because the scope was not aligned with the barrel. It hadn't been sighted in. And it was a crappy rifle to begin with.
$12 rifle, Italian?
Yeah. They called it the Peacekeeper because there's no way you could kill anybody with that rifle unless you threw it at somebody's head.
Okay. From the sixth floor, you could get some speed on the rifle if you threw it at JFK.
He was up there.
Someone might have noticed that, though, if a
right,
rifle
now you are
flying out of the window.
Now you are ridiculous.
Oswald, now, you know what? I'm just pointing out the absurdity of
it. Was on the sixth floor, and he threw a suppository instead of his throat. That's
what
happened.
From the sixth floor to a suppository.
He took one of them suppositories.
It went straight up his ass.
He bounced off the grassy knoll.
Happy Thanksgiving, Carlos El Zarraqui.
December 6th in Stanford's Comedy Club in Kansas, 6th and 7th, and CarlosElZarraqui.com and Facebook.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
An exciting,
right.
Sexy liberal announcement next week. Ha ha.
That's right.
We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.